Good morning.
Well, good morning, Faye. How are you?
I'm wonderful. I mean, it's down to 96.
You're going to have to get out to your winter parkas pretty soon.
That's right. I mean, you know, if you can keep it down under 100, you know, it's a pretty good deal.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Oh, it's not going to be long before, though, you're saying, I can't believe how cold it is. And
well, it doesn't seem like it'll get here this year. I mean,
no.
It's hot out.
No, at this rate.
And rain. I mean, we need rain. We're going to have to do something to get some rain.
Oh, gosh. You haven't had any rain either?
No, we have not had any rain up here. And at least everybody's got their hay baled. I was able to buy some hay from a farmer and saved a lot of money, so I'm excited about that.
That is cool. Yeah, I remember last summer you had to, like, get it from... How far away did you have to go to get it, anyway?
Well, we don't know, but we bought it from the farm store, and they were getting it from out of state because of that fire last summer.
Yeah.
There was no hay. Now, this year there is hay, and, of course, what I was trying to do was save some money because, last winter we were paying $190 a bale, and we got it back down to $160, and then I started looking for farmers. I found a farmer, and he's doing it for $80 a bale.
Really?
There's a difference in there.
Wow.
Between a farmer and what the farm store charges.
Goodness gracious. It's like almost half.
It is about half.
Wow.
Yeah, and then you've got some of these farmers are not prepared. You know, they don't have the big hay trailers. But he said he had a little trailer and he'd bring it over.
Wow.
And I said, well, how many bales would it hold? It'll hold three big bales. I said, then bring three, then go back and get some more.
Wow.
And his wife said, can you get it off the trailer? I said, all he has to do is just scoot it off, you know.
Yeah.
You don't have to pick anything up.
Mm-mm. Just push it.
So anyway, hopefully he'll be able to get it done.
Wow. Good. Well, then that's fantastic. That's some good news.
That is good news. It's not a big dollar deal, but to me it is.
Yeah, well, I mean, gosh, after what you went through last summer, that's fantastic.
It is, because it was really high out here.
Yeah.
And I'm just thankful the farmers have got some hay baled.
Yeah.
But on several sides of the road, they've got their little sign up, you know, hay for sale.
Yeah. How long will that get you through?
Three bales, not very long. Remember, I have 17 llamas.
Oh, my gosh.
They eat a lot. I mean, you know, that's about 2.5 weeks. That's all that is.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's not long.
Huh. Well, I was hoping it would take you at least through a little longer than that, but with 17, I suppose you got some hungry mouths to feed.
We have some hungry mouths to feed. Let me tell you how they love their hay. Once we get the new hay, and they lay down in front of it and just lay there and eat hay.
Really?
That's how much they love it.
Wow. It's almost like they're sitting down for a special treat when it comes in.
That's it.
Wow.
And, of course, you know, their grass is not good this year because I'm using the sprinkler on it, but it's still not good enough.
Wow. You had all that rain. You had, like, what, 5 years worth of rain this spring all in one shot. And there was all the flooding, and is it a result?
And if the rain would have continued, we would have some good grass, and we'd be in good shape.
Yeah.
But needless to say.
And it just cut off.
The rain quit. We have not done an Indian dance, and that's probably what's wrong.
That is. It's exactly what you need to do. Get out there this afternoon and go do a little dance.
And see if I can get the rain coming.
Yeah.
It'd be worth it, let me tell you.
It would. It would. I've seen, you know, crazier things happen, so it, you know.
But I'm out of moccasins.
Aw, see? You need to stock up on these things.
I know. I need to be prepared. That's what's wrong. I'm not really prepared for a rain dance.
Wow. I would love, if you decide to do a rain dance, let me know, because I would drive over to watch.
You want to take pictures?
Yeah,
I
do.
You do. Wow.
That would be awesome. Oh, this is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588. 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
It's not too much longer. I know it seems like it's, you know, we're August 10th? It seems like, you know, Christmas is so far away, but it's really not. I can't remember how many weeks it is. I did the math the other day, and it's really not that far. I almost wonder if maybe by the time we get to Christmas, if maybe the economy and things are going to be in a different shape, you know, after everything that's happened this week. You know, what was it, Monday?
Everything is really crazy. You know, more buildings have been foreclosed this week, big buildings. And I'm worried about the banks because, you know, they've taken all this back, and this is a big hit.
Yeah.
You know, when you foreclose on a 40-story building in New York City, the banks are taking a huge hit.
Jeez. That's just...
Their liability is very great. So I'm a little bit worried about that. And, of course... When the stocks tanked the other morning,
I know
that 1,000-point drop, you know, got everybody's attention.
Yeah.
I'm thankful we're not in the stock market. I'm thankful that we are in a conservative investment with life insurance policies. Wow. If I was in the stock market, I don't know what I'd have done.
Yeah. I mean, that was what, 1,000 points? What was Monday morning, first thing?
1,000 points.
Yeah.
I mean, first thing. I mean, it happened fast. Like you said, it started in Europe and it came this way, and it was bad.
Yeah.
A lot of people lost $1 billion.
Golly, I can't even imagine.
Fast. Just can you imagine?
Wow.
And the people, just normal people, their losses were very great, and it should tell them something. This is not the year to be in stocks, let me tell you.
Yeah. Let me just ask you this then, because we see the thing with the stock market that happened this week, and then all the real estate you're talking about, is the real estate thing, because that's been going on for a while, is that almost an indicator of, is that kind of where the, a lot of times things like this are a domino effect. Is real estate usually the first domino, and that's kind of like the indicator of what might come down the road?
Well, you know, when this happened in 2008, it was all real estate, remember that?
Yeah.
And this time, it's businesses. It's not just real estate. It's all these retail companies going broke. I mean, I've never seen so many restaurant chains going broke, like Red Lobster. Like I said, that could have been avoided. But whoever this genius was that was running it said, let's give free shrimp. I mean, you cannot give free shrimp.
No.
I mean, shrimp is expensive. It's flown in. It's not right here. We don't even have a harbor in Texas. So, you know, it's coming a long way. And it broke them. That's what absolutely broke them. They gave so much away. It was millions and millions of dollars. They never recovered from it.
Mm.
And it's like all these other companies. That Italian restaurant chain just went broke. There's just so many of them, retail stores. And that one this week, you know, they've been in business a year ago. This little company was worth $40 million in assets.
Really?
And today it's in bankruptcy.
How can that be? How can you go from that much in assets to nothing?
Well, it had been sold to one of those Wall Street companies. And they don't know a thing about running companies.
Oh.
But they saw it. It looked good. Had good cash flow, good assets, and they bought it and ran it in the ground in 1 year.
Wow. That's got to be a record time.
Yeah, and you would think every company right now needs a president that knows the business, that's a hands-on guy, that'll get his hands dirty, that'll really get out there and work it and make it work, instead of the prima donnas that sit up there in their ivory towers.
Is it people that have maybe fooled their ways into these high, like, CEO positions, or are they just unqualified making bad decisions?
I think they're absolutely unqualified.
Wow.
And they're not, they just run these companies into the ground.
Wow.
You know, when they need to be tightening the belt, they weren't. And then they look, and one of these guys they fired this week, he was supposed to be doing all this with the investments, and they found out he just bought a $16 million jet out of their money.
You're kidding.
$16 million jet.
Wow.
I mean, he was living the high life on the company's money.
That's just...
You know, you're supposed to have checks and balances where there's at least 2 to 3 signatures on a check in a big company. You're supposed to not have one person that can take all the money out. But there's been several scandals lately where the president of the company could write a check for any amount of money he wanted, millions and millions.
Wow. I'm shocked that they're able to get away with it.
Well, they did for like a year or 2 years, and then they came in to audit, and one of them was a public company. Securities and Exchange came in, and they saw, you know, within 3 or 4 days, how many million dollars were missing. Just literally missing.
So they caught it quick, but
quick enough. I mean,
done.
He'd already spent all that. And, of course, you know, he's going away for a long time for stealing. But that's not going to get all the money back, is it?
No. Mm-mm. Wow. And once it's done, it's kind of done. And at that point, there's, you know, not much anybody can really do, I would think.
But if everybody would hire the people that, you know, that work every day, that are good at it, you know, they'd have it made. Instead, they hire these people from Harvard or somewhere else that haven't worked a day in their life.
Yeah, people with no experience.
Yeah, and if you have experienced people, you know, they can pull it through. You know, they can make it work. And they'll get in the trenches. You know, they'll visit the stores if it's retail. You know, they'll see what the inventory, what's wrong with the inventory, and try to get it straightened out. But, you know, Neiman Marcus, you know, after the Neimans and the Marcuses were dead, you know, that big company bought it. Well, they ran it in the ground. It went bankrupt. And then they made a comeback again. And now Saks Fifth Avenue is buying them.
Oh, geez. Really?
Yeah. Saks is a well-run company. And so they're buying them. And I go, I think they're paying $2 billion for them.
Oh, wow.
So it still has a lot of assets.
Yeah, clearly.
It's not profitable.
No. It's just, you know, we see things like this happen all the time. We saw all these different industries, whether it's, you know, retail or, you know, restaurants or, you know, even the stock market. And all these weird things are happening, things that we would probably never even think would happen. But none of these conditions affect life settlements. And I think that's every time one of these things happen, we go through
the cycle. The whole thing right there. We don't have retail. We don't have inventory. Never buy a business that has inventory. You might have to eat it.
Yeah.
And, you know, this way, there is no inventory. It's a life insurance policy. It's someone that needs to sell the policy. They've got cancer. You know, they're desperate. And we're helping them out. And, you know, I'd rather have an investment in a life insurance policy than almost anything. You know, I want to be in the life insurance business because it's conservative. People are not going broke every day. And these are huge companies that we're buying the policies with. And so, you know, they've got asset on top of asset. And thank goodness they don't get into retail. You know, they're not loaning money out. Life insurance companies are probably the most conservative investment that I know of.
Yeah.
I love the way they operate, and they're so far removed from all this other. It's a blessing. It really is.
Yeah, and when a policy matures, they've never once in the history of the universe I can ever think of have ever said, "Well, you know, real estate isn't doing so great, so we're only going to pay 75% of the policy when it matures." It doesn't have. It's always 100%, and they've got the cash reserves on hand. Like you were saying, they don't.
That's
do
right. They can pay immediately. You know, it's not, oh, we have to wait till payday to get some money. I mean, it's not that kind of a deal. They have huge assets. They're right there. They write a check. It comes to the bank. The bank puts it in everybody's account, and we're ready to go again. And you don't have the ups and downs of the stock market. You don't have the ups and downs of real estate right now. And, you know, a lot of people are going to have to eat that real estate. And with this, you don't have to worry about inventory. You don't have to worry about, you know, the tenants all move out and you're left with an empty building, or you can't get them to pay their rent. And when they don't pay, you know, you can't pay. So, you know, it makes a big difference.
I'll bet probably with everything that's happened this week, especially Monday, you know, when we wake up and, you know, the market's down 1,000%, you know, and stuff like that you don't even see coming. It just like hits you out of nowhere. Nobody predicted Monday to come. But I bet, you know, everybody that was in a life settlement, you were probably waking up Monday and seeing that on TV and hearing about the drop and all that and thinking, whew, we're all right. And you didn't have to sweat and
worry.
That's right.
And I said, thank the Lord that we're not in that business. Thank goodness we don't own stocks.
Yeah.
That we don't have REITs. We don't have something that somebody else is managing that you have no control over your money. Had you thought of that?
Not
you
really.
You have no control. If it's in the stock market, whatever happens, happens. You don't control your asset. You don't control the investment. And you know very little about it. That's what's so scary.
Yeah. Yeah, and things can change at any time.
People are not sophisticated. Let's, you know, they're just not. They're not sophisticated.
No.
And these people up New York are. So when they get control of the money, look out.
Yeah.
You know, it's not for ordinary people, I don't think.
Yeah.
I think years ago it might have been, but it's too sophisticated now for the ordinary person, and
yeah,
they don't understand what they've done with their money.
And they don't always do.
Now, I've asked several people, what are you invested in? I don't know.
Yeah, most people don't.
What have you made? Yeah. Well, I'm not sure.
I'm not sure.
Well, so, you know, a life settlement, you know, you understand it because it's a life insurance policy. You know, we're buying policies from people that have cancer, stage 4, that are very sick. They need to sell their policy, and that's how we make money on it. That's how the client makes money. When that person passes away, they get paid. And, you know, if it's 1% a month, you know, if it's a 28-month policy, they're going to make at least 28%. And lots of times it's 30 or 34%. You know, the last three policies, these big ones that matured, they had like 38% profit.
Wow.
And it's not always that way, but these particular ones did.
And that's huge, and that's worth pointing out.
It was huge, and so everybody made good money. You know, they've got good interest coming in, and it makes a difference of what you're invested in. And then we buy policies. A lot of people don't understand this. Right here in Texas, people that have cancer that need to sell their policies, we can buy their policies. We are a licensed provider in the state of Texas. So you can sell it right here in Texas. You don't have to do business with somebody in Florida or Georgia. You know, you can sell it right here. We probably pay more for a policy than they do.
And I would assume, and correct me if I'm wrong, but, you know, when you take out that middleman broker, everybody makes more. Everybody wins, right?
They're going to get more because it's direct with us. There's
yeah.
not a broker in between.
Yeah. So people
you
benefit.
You can sell it direct to us. And all you have to do is call us, let us see all the medical records, let our doctors look at it, and then we'll make an offer.
It's a pretty easy process from what it sounds like.
That's right. It takes less than 30 days.
Oh, wow. Really? That fast?
Yeah, and so then you're going to get the money. We send you a check. You sign over the life insurance policy, and we're in business.
Wow. That's pretty fantastic.
I think it is, too. It helps a lot of people.
Yeah.
And then let's talk about our investors. Our investors, you know, they want to make money. That's why they've got money with us. And we keep a lot of money on hand, you know, to buy policies. And when we look at one, if we get the bid, then we're going to send out a notice to certain people, say, okay, we want you to put $50,000 or $100,000 in this investment. And then if they like the policy, they get in it. And let's say it's $1 million. It may take 8 people for that policy. So those 8 people they send us a note saying, yes, they want to go in it. We put everything in escrow, and then we pay the people. We get all the documents. We get the policy. And then everything goes to Nevada Trust, and they start servicing it. It's just that simple.
Yeah. And the thing is that you're very specific about the types of policies that you're buying. You know, there's a lot of people that, you know, see the commercials on TV, and it seems like they get ramped up at certain times of year where, you know, these companies will come on and they'll say, oh, we'll buy your policy. And, you know, the people are out, you know, traveling around, and they're doing all the wonderful fun things and smiling and happy and skipping through the forest. But though they're just buying pretty much anything that might mature in 20, 30, 40 years. But the policies that you're looking at, you're looking for much shorter returns. And then the idea is that when the policy matures, people take that and reinvest into another policy.
That's exactly
the whole thing,
right.
Yeah.
And ours is all short time.
Yeah.
We're not usually doing anything over 34, 36 months. And most of ours are shorter than that. You know, we bid on a lot of them and get them that are 12, 18 months. We didn't get those last week. We bid on $4 million worth of policies last week and didn't get one of them.
Really?
They went really high. And this is the first time I've seen policies this high. Usually, we know just about where the market is. But the market right now is high. We had one lady that didn't even sell her policy. She just didn't get what she wanted, so she just went home. But the auction lasts for 2 weeks each time. So, you know, we're bidding during that time, trying to get the policy and beat someone else where we can bring it to our investors.
Is it one of those things where like the market is so high that the people that are continuing into the process and actually buying these policies, are they edging out their own profit? Is there anything left? Or because I know you're looking at that.
Well, sometimes it gets so high, we just drop out.
Gosh.
If it gets where the client isn't going to make much money, it's not worth it.
Yeah.
You know, because we have a kind of a set amount we want them to make, you know, and we want to be sure they're going to make good money. And then we want to make a little money. And sometimes it just gets where, you know, there's not any profit left. They've bid it so high.
Gosh. It's so
strange.
We
like it when it's a comfortable deal where there's good profit, where the owner of the policy gets paid good, our clients get paid good, and we're happy.
Yeah.
And we know just about where that is. We've bid some pancreatic cancer ones, and this first time we've had pancreatic cancer in 2 years.
Really?
And everybody loves pancreatic cancer. It's so fast. We didn't get those last week, but we got another one this week we're bidding that is pancreatic cancer.
Mm.
So we're really trying to get it because it'll be a good profit, and they're fairly quick, as you know.
Yeah.
More so than other kinds.
I'm shocked that the market is so tight and so high. It's just, what's the point if you start eating into the profit margin? And I guess investors probably love the fact and should be confident in the fact that when it does hit that threshold and you're like, you know, we're cutting too far into the profit, it's just not worth it anymore. And so you're always making those decisions to protect investors, to make sure that
they
are making
profit.
We have
to protect them first.
Yeah.
That's why we're in business,
yeah.
To make them a profit, to do it safely, get them for retirement, and then get them into retirement. So that's what we do every day.
And people can also, you know, we're talking about, you know, how I guess the stock market and brokers can kind of do whatever they want willy-nilly, and people don't know what they're in. They don't know, you know, how much they've made. They don't have all this information, and they're not really sure. But with a life settlement, it is very well informed. They've got what we used to call it page 14, but now it's like, what, 5 pages from the end or something?
I think it's 5 pages from the end of the contract.
Basically a summary.
And it gives you everything you need to know. It tells you, first of all, who we've bought the policy from. It tells you the amount of the policy. It tells you how much you're invested, what your profit is. It tells you if it goes over, what it will cost you, what the premiums are. You should always know what the premiums are going in. We always tell you. And that's another thing. All the policies we buy, we're trying to make sure it's really, really low premium. the ones we're bidding this week at very low premium. One of them, the premium is 0.855.
Really?
So, yeah, it's not even a 1%.
Wow.
And the other one is a little over 1%. It's 1.17.
Wow.
But those are both low. It's going to be worth the money if we get them, and we are trying very hard to get them. As I said, one of them is pancreatic cancer, and it's a $1 million policy. The other policy is liver and gallbladder cancer.
Mm.
So two different ones. And both of the companies were trying to do the life insurance companies are all A and A plus, like they always are.
And you'll know those in what, a week or two or three, something like that?
Yes, we'll know in another week on these. The bidding will be through next week.
You know, I'm listening to all the things that you're actually looking at. You're looking at a lot of different things when you're even deciding whether or not you're going to even bid on a policy. You're looking at, the type of policy it is. You're looking at the premiums. You're looking at the policyholder's lifestyle. If they're out, you know, playing golf and traveling and things like that, that's an indicator as well.
That's right. And this one, a year ago, the guy was still playing golf. That's before he got really sick. When I first looked at it, and it said playing golf, I said, we may not want it. Then I went back and looked. It was a year ago that he was able to play golf. So since then, he's been in and out of the hospital when the cancer got bad. So that you're right, that's a factor. Their lifestyle, if they're still taking trips, you know, it means they've got a while. You remember Mr. Chung, the one we refer to every once in a while?
Yes.
When Mr. Chung got ill, we wanted to buy his policies. He put us on hold, would not sell them. He had a bucket list. And he went to Italy, went to all these places. And so we didn't know what was going to happen. He came back. He kept one policy and sold us one. And I think he had, they were saying 18 months, 2 years. He was dead in 11 months.
Wow.
We were shocked. He was a lot sicker than he thought he was. He thought he could go and do all this and that he had time, but he didn't have time.
Hmm.
And it was a hard policy to get. You know, he ran us around the mulberry bush for 3 months. And then finally, when he came back from Italy, he finally sold us that one policy.
Wow.
But he didn't have much time. We were lucky to have gotten it, you know, before he did pass away.
I remember you.
That's another thing we hardly ever mention. If they die within 2 months of us buying the policy, we have to return it. They have to give us the money back, and the heirs get it.
Mm.
And we've only had one where the heirs had spent the money and couldn't give it back.
Really?
So we kept it. But that very seldom happens. Usually they don't die right away. But we have had some that have rescinded, because they've got like 30 days that if they die within that time, it will rescind, and we don't get to keep the money.
Yeah. I know you're always looking for those policies that will mature fairly quickly, but there have been a couple that have been really, really close, really, really close. And so sometimes it happens, but it's part of the process, I suppose. Now, for those who still like the excitement of the stock market without the risk of losing everything, you know, without a risk of, you know, being affected by, say, last Monday, there is an option for annuities. And that is also another conservative investment as well. And people,
it's very conservative. You can take lifetime income with an annuity. You get the bonus up front. It's 13%. That's very conservative right now. And if you put money in for 3 years, you get a bonus every year for 3 years, plus whatever it makes. But what I love about an annuity, it mirrors the stock market. It's never in the stock market. And like last Monday, with an annuity, nothing would have happened. It would just sit still. It did not go down. It has an aversion to going down. So it has that locked in where it cannot go down. It can only go up or stand still. So So on Monday, our investment stood still because it was not in the stock market, so it didn't crash. So nobody lost a dime. They didn't make anything on Monday, but they didn't lose anything.
Mm.
So people that really love the stock market, if they want to do that, the way to do it is be in an annuity. It mirrors the stock market. Like if the stock market goes up, your annuity goes up. If the stock market goes down, nothing happens.
Wow.
And then your interest is locked in once a year, every 12 months. Or if you'll do a two-year strategy, it's locked in every 2 years, which gives you 24 months of indexes to see what it did. You can do it either way. I know they recommend some two-year things, but we have like 14 choices. They've improved it. This year they've added some indexes, and they have a good track record. It's got a good average, and if you want to play the stock market without the risk, an annuity is the place to be. And then you want an annuity company that you can rely on. These companies have been in business 100 years.
Jeez. Wow.
Yeah. Old line. It's owned by Texans.
As it should be.
It's a Texas-owned company.
Yeah.
It's not owned by somebody in New York City.
New York City?
That's right, New York City. Those people are crazy up there.
Yeah. And New Jersey.
And we never mentioned that they would ever go over to New Jersey.
No.
That's right.
Wow. You know, it's almost like the things that you're saying this morning, it's kind of like getting a bucket of ice water thrown in our face. It's like, you know, we see all the things that happened this past Monday. We talk about them all the time. But to see the fact that so many people lost so much money, the market, you know, dropped a 1,000 points, before you even got out of bed Monday. And to know that your investors didn't lose a dime is just...
Yes, our investors stood still. They didn't lose anything. They're happy. And then we picked up where we left off.
Yeah.
But that doesn't happen with the stock market. And remember this. We have an election coming up, I'm told, in 3 months. And that's going to affect our lives a lot.
Yeah.
I think it's going to affect every American there is.
Yeah.
So that's something to think about. Where your investments are now, I would get them solidified before the turmoil of this election. I think it's going to be a battle. And I think everybody should think about that. If you're conservative, get your investments to conservative investment. Don't take the risk. I don't know what will happen.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody else does. I would certainly not be out here investing in real estate at this point. Real estate has fallen so bad. And they're foreclosing every day on some big building, which just scares me to death.
I'm shocked that, because you've been talking about the real estate effect for quite a while. And I'm shocked that it just doesn't seem, it seems like it's almost in free fall and it's just not stopping.
It hasn't stopped. The lenders are still taking back that 40-story building in New York this week. I was in shock that they didn't know their clients seemed better than that. That they cannot pay the loan.
Hmm.
I mean, it's shocking to me. A 40-story building, I think the loan was over $100 million.
Wow.
And it will affect the bank's bottom line, let me tell you.
How much can the system take before it actually breaks?
I don't know. I keep wondering. All these banks are taking back all these bad loans, and it will affect your bottom line for a long time. And a lot of them will have to put up more assets. If it's a regional bank, I don't know if they can. The big banks have got, $1 trillion.
Hmm.
But I just wonder about this, how
wow.
it's going to affect those two banks up in New York that loaned that money. I mean, didn't they know their clients seemed better than that?
You would think they would, but maybe not. I I don't know. Maybe somebody slipped something through. Maybe somebody didn't read the fine print. I don't know. It's weird. It seems like this has never really happened before because, you know, there were all the checks and balance systems in place and people, you know, were checked out and verified. And, you know, it seemed like it was at least one point where you'd need multiple signatures on a check, you know, to write something if you know, they're large amounts. And it just seems that's kind of like gone. It seems like there's just so much maybe willy-nilly going on, and it's like, uh-oh, maybe these things aren't as secured up as what we thought. So,
well, you know that all loans have to go through a loan committee. Hmm. I mean, you know, they can't just go out here and make a loan by themselves. Nobody can. You might could have 50 years ago when the president of the bank could make a loan to anybody. But nowadays you have loan committees, two or three-tier loan committees. These huge banks, you would think they would know their customer, and if they loaned them $100 million, they'd know a little bit about them.
Yeah.
And if they can't pay, I mean, it's a huge, huge loss.
Hmm. It's just, it seems like it's too much money involved to just be casual about it, babies.
Yeah, and whoever, the loan committee on that, I believe I'd kick them out.
Yeah.
I believe I'd say, loan committee, you don't know what you're doing. I'm not going to have you in here anymore. We approved this loan, and now it's went south.
Yeah. Wow. So strange. And then eventually, I'm sure at some point, people will start to, you know, feel the trickle-down, you know, effects, you know, even when, like, restaurants and retailers that have been around forever, you know, start closing their doors. And then it's just like, you know, if too much of that happens at once, I would imagine that it makes people feel very insecure, which makes people kind of like, well, I guess maybe withdraw or kind of pull back their spending. And then it starts to affect the economy. And it's this giant, I don't know, this giant.
I think it's a bubble about to burst.
Yeah. Yeah. It's what it
you know.
It's just so. It almost seems like, okay, this is maybe the warning or maybe the indicators are there. And so before something does happen, this might be the time to make some adjustments so that people start to kind of maybe go towards more conservative types of investments. And they have time to do it. If something, you know, happens in, I don't know, say fall or around, you know, the first part of November or something like that, between now and then, you got plenty of time to get people set up into either life settlements or annuities. Things like that, right? It's a pretty quick process.
Either one of them, your money is not going anywhere. Both of them are life insurance products. That's what's so great. It's all life insurance products. We're not. It's not in a bank. We're not doing a bank deal where we have to worry about the assets of the bank, how solid it is. We're not involved in that. We're only doing life insurance products with huge life insurance companies, and they're not involved in all this. They're not loaning out all this money. That's why it's a good deal for all of us to stay in something we know. We all know life insurance. We know life insurance products. You know, we've been doing annuities a long time, 23 years on annuities.
Wow.
We've been doing life settlements for a long time. I think 2013 we started doing them.
Wow.
And we didn't know anything about them at the time. It took a long time to learn to do it right. But, you know, we've learned, we've improved. So we've got it down now. We're doing it right. I think if you're conservative at all, this is the place to be.
Yeah, really. I mean, not only have you got it down, but the improvements in, you know, the technology and the information and all that has come a long way as well. So, you know, there's a lot more resources now and a lot more tools that are used to determine.
And
you know,
we're
the
doing
accuracy.
A better job. Everything's become more sophisticated. Mm-hmm. Like the company that we're using now is great. They know very quickly when someone's died, which is really important. And the only one we can't find right now is Mr. Denton. I guess we're going to have to go to South Carolina again and see about
again?
Mr. Denton. Again. We can't find him again.
Wow.
He's not answering the phone. We're trying to check on him. You know, usually, and that's part of the contract. that every 90 days they're supposed to talk to us.
Oh.
And, you know, remember, he's 91 and he's getting contrary. And, you know, I think he may be in really bad shape now is what we're thinking.
Mm, yeah.
Because I can't get the nurse on the phone or him.
Mm.
So, you know, we're very concerned.
Isn't that the one that that Flint had to go visit a couple of years ago?
Yes. A year ago he went. And we were talking this week, he may have to go again.
Oh, boy.
Because we want to, you know, we want to know that he is alive. We want to know if he's just barely alive. We need to know. Because, you know, we tell the customers, we're going to check on him. We're going to know. And the others, we do check on them all the time. We verify, you know, that they are alive.
Yeah.
We verify the doctors how long they've got to live.
You're very thorough.
We're trying to be very thorough.
This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
And every Saturday around this time, we get into trivia. So what is our topic today?
You're not going to believe it's a great story. You know how summer, spring, all Americans, we love baseball. You know, we're at the games, you know, listen to the speaker, listen to the ball, listen to the batter. I mean, big time. But did you know where the only baseball glove company is in America?
No.
Nakona, Texas.
Really?
I mean, this is a find of the century. There is a baseball glove company there that started in 1929.
Really?
They're the only baseball company that makes baseball gloves in the United States of America.
I had
the only one.
No idea.
No, most people don't know it. It is called, let me spell it for you, it's important, N-O-K-O-N-A, Nakona.
Hmm.
The name is from the grandfather of Quanah Parker.
Really?
How about that?
Wow.
It was named after the Comanche chief who was the father of Quanah Parker. Nakona gloves are handmade, one glove at a time. They're hand-sewn, handmade. It's just an amazing story. The grandfather started in 1929. And what he was doing was making wallets. And he was making these wallets, and then the Depression came. When the Depression came, he says, to sell a wallet for a dollar, you had to put a dollar bill inside it.
Wow. No profit to be there.
There was no profit. And in 1934, they made the first glove.
Wow. I'm shocked.
And, as I said, they're the only company in America that does that. They said all gloves are made in China, Malaysia, Vietnam. You know, they have 35 employees.
Really?
And it takes 26 pieces of leather to make one glove. Did you know that?
Huh. Wow.
And the leather comes from Texas, Oklahoma, Kansas beef, but they tan it in either Milwaukee or Chicago, and send it in.
Huh.
And they call it the side. So he said it's either the right side or the left side of the steer.
Wow.
And they can make five gloves out of a side of steer.
Really?
And he says it starts with one piece of leather. Then they stamp it, they stitch it, they sew each glove by hand.
That just shocks me.
It's a custom-made baseball gloves. And they have one man, Martin. He inspects each and every glove.
Really?
They have top quality control. He said if he finds one that the stitching isn't perfect, he simply goes back there and says, all right, you can do a better job of this.
Wow.
They lace up the gloves, they look at them, and then they have to pound them 60 times to where that glove will be ready when it gets to the store.
Wow. I'm just.
Can you imagine?
I can't.
Right here in Texas, Nakona, which is a small town. Now, you know, Nakona's where the Nakona Boot Company and Justin Boot Company started also.
Yeah.
So leather is their business in Nakona, Texas.
Wow.
But I couldn't believe that it was called Canona after the great Indian chief, and had been there all these years and nobody even knew it.
I know. It's just, it makes me want to go out and pull out my glove here in you know, and look at it and just kind of like have a different appreciation. I can't believe that in the world that we live in now, where it's just, you know, all about, you know, cranking out product and as fast as you can and as automated as much as possible, that they're actually like all made by hand, and there's one guy who checks for quality control, and it's just
and it's handmade. It takes 36 pieces to make one glove.
Wow.
Custom real gloves.
I'm just, you know, and
not these stuff they make in China and everywhere, but a real baseball glove.
I mean, when things come off an assembly line, okay, you know, a lot of times they're fine and there's nothing wrong. But to have that kind of personal attention is just unheard of. It's like it's still 1929.
That's right. And in a little bitty town, this company's rolling out these fantastic baseball gloves right here in Texas.
Yeah.
It's shocking.
I'm literally speechless. I had no idea. I didn't even know that business model would succeed in a day like this. This is
who
awesome.
Would have known that a little small company could do this from 1929? They're still in business, still making gloves, and they have 35 employees in a little bitty town,
yeah.
A little bitty town of Nakona. How they ever got 35 employees, yeah. I don't know. I just can't imagine.
It's like every resident of town works at the place.
I mean, I'll bet that's the truth. Oh. I'll bet, you know, but they've been in business 80 years.
Really? I'm just...
80 years.
I'm in awe at this. I mean, this is just... I didn't think companies like this even existed anymore. This is refreshing.
I didn't think there was a handmade company in all of America anymore. I thought everything was made in China.
Yeah. And if it's
to be named after a Comanche chief, I think that's just neat as heck.
Yeah.
And that's spelled Nokana, Nakana.
Wow.
After the famous Indian chief. I'm impressed.
Me too.
But I think his grandfather started it. He's been there ever since his grandfather, you know, let him come in there. And they've been running it ever since. And then it takes 60 blows to a glove to get it soft enough that when you get it, it's going to be ready to go. Can you imagine?
Wow. And when you get one, it gives you a whole new appreciation, because when you do get one, you can, you know, like you can look at it, hold it, you can put it on, you can know that, you know, there is an actual person that looked at this, an actual person made this, an actual person took the time to sew every stitch, to put it all together, to do everything that needs to be done. And so, you know, it's anything that's made by hand is usually almost always highest quality.
Can you imagine how good these gloves smell?
Oh,
I just imagine it.
Wow.
The smell of a baseball glove is fantastic.
Mm-hmm. It is.
And can you imagine they get all these hides, the big hides, from Texas, Oklahoma, Kansas, wherever, and have it send back a whole side, and it takes one side of a steer to make a baseball glove.
Wow.
That's amazing.
It is. This is really cool. I'm going to have to see if I can, you know, find one of these. It's just, you don't hear about something like this every day. And the fact that it's right here in Texas is a whole other thing.
I don't know where you can buy them at. I was wondering, you know, where we could buy them at.
Yeah, me too. I'm kind of like trying to search right now, but I'll search after a while. I mean, this is cool. I honestly did not know that you could even survive like that. And it's refreshing to know
that's right. A small town, a small company. It's not a big China factory, and it's made it all these years.
Yeah.
And making something that's really worth having.
Yeah. You know, so, you know, people who are really into baseball and play, or even if it's just, you know, amateur types of ball, you know, you still choose your glove very carefully. But to know that there's handmade products that still exist, even in any capacity. I mean, it's hard to find anything that's handmade anymore. And so,
that's exactly right. I mean, getting anything handmade is hard.
Wow. How cool. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
And it seems like we're right in the heart of baseball season, too. You know, it's like we're in the middle of summer, and then closer to fall, and, you know, September, October, we get into playoffs, and it just is the sound of the bat, and just all of it is just, oh.
And part of my family is involved in baseball.
Really?
Yes. They have a sports facility for boys 13 to 16. They have probably five teams. These teams have played in Florida this year. They've been in the playoffs. They've been in Colorado. And this particular member of the family was in the minor leagues.
You're kidding.
And he never made it to the big league. He was always in the minors, and he never was called up. So he knows baseball. He's looking for talent in these boys. And his A number one team, the scouts have been visiting him to see if some of these boys will qualify.
Wow.
So I know a little bit about it.
How cool. I didn't know that. Neat.
Oh, yeah. And what's really funny is nowadays the parents think they're smarter than you are, and they try to tell the coaches what to do. Hey, it doesn't work here, and it doesn't work in the big leagues either.
I bet the stories that can be told.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, it's expensive. These little boys pay from $3,000 to $4,000.
Really?
To be a member of the team.
Wow.
Yeah, it's expensive to get private lessons to you know, to be in a team that that plays everywhere. I know they went to Florida this year. As I said, they were in Colorado, and they were in the playoffs. So he had one or two teams that were really good.
Wow. Well, congratulations on that. That's really cool. I mean, gosh.
Yeah. Baseball here is so big. It's really big.
Wow.
And over at Roanoke, they're fixing to build a facility, a baseball facility, and spend $24 million.
Really? Wow.
Oh, yeah. Whoa. I mean, it's big. We never would have thought that our kids and all this, it would be this big. But they don't even have enough facilities for all the baseball teams.
Wow.
And the basketball teams.
Oh,
it's big.
Yeah.
It's not like when we sent our kids to school and they played at school and played a few teams and all this. It's big business now.
Yeah.
I mean, I think the schools, if they don't have all the sports, people wouldn't even go there.
Oh, gosh, no. It's a level of dedication.
No, you've
got
to have all of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's big.
Wow.
And expensive.
So baseball runs in the Bagby blood.
That's right. It's part of our DNA.
Wow. How cool. I didn't know any of that. That's awesome. That's really cool.
I have a granddaughter that's in volleyball, and she's on a big team now.
Really?
Yeah, you have to try out for these teams. And she tried out. She got accepted. So she's on a volleyball team. So sports is our thing.
Yeah, no doubt. Wow, that's
and
really, really cool.
One, remember, he's on a basketball team. He took private lessons this summer from one of the Mavericks, was his coach.
How cool. That's once-in-a-lifetime opportunity.
It was once-in-a-lifetime. He learned a lot. So that was pretty neat. And he was really impressed when he got a Mavericks as a coach.
Yeah.
I mean, that was, for a little kid, he was impressed.
Gosh, for a big kid, I'm impressed. Wow, that is awesome. I don't remember. We didn't have those opportunities when we were kids, you know, in summer camp.
No, it's a whole new world out there, let me tell you.
Wow.
I mean, kids can get private lessons from pros. I mean, there's so much happening in the world.
That is really, really cool. I mean, that's awesome. Wow. Congratulations to everybody in the family. It's just, it sounds like you've got a whole family of really talented people.
Well, we're trying.
Yeah. Cool. Okay. Before we run out of time, real quick, life settlements. There are two risks. What is the first one that people need to know?
The first risk is it could go over. You would have to pay premium. So you need to always be aware of that. The premium is low, but you need to be aware of it. The second risk is, remember, it's not liquid till it matures. When it matures, it's liquid. And that is when the people pass away.
And
then you must be accredited. Mm-hmm. And to be accredited, you must make $200,000 a year, or you must be worth $1 million without your house.
Okay. For people who are thinking about coming over, they want to, you know, they're interested in life settlements, it is worth noting that you have had people in the past who have thought, just kind of like running some rough numbers in their head, oh, we're not accredited, we can't do this. And then they've gone back and actually added up their assets, and comes to turn out they actually were more than qualified. So it is worth
That's
doing
right.
some math
they were
ahead
worth-
of time.
I know who you're talking about, and he was worth actually $1.5 million.
Yeah, yeah.
So he had plenty of assets. And this week, we've had a lot of calls. We've got people coming in next week and the next week. So that's a good thing. These are people that are coming for life settlements, and we've got some new annuity clients coming in also. So people are thinking conservative. They're doing conservative.
And last question. If people are kind of concerned about some of the rough waters that may be ahead in the next couple of months, how long does it take to usually get a new investor set up for, you know, either one? Life settlements?
Usually 2 weeks.
Okay.
Sometimes it's a little quicker. It depends if they're going to write a personal check. That's pretty quick. If they're doing a rollover, like an IRA or 401k, it takes a little bit longer.
Okay.
So it depends which kind of money it is. If it's a joint account at the bank, it's fine. If it's a savings account, that's quick.
Okay.
So it depends which way you're going.
All right. But people do need to come in, see you, talk to you, either get some more information or, you know, get the ball rolling, whichever they want to do. I know you've got a lot of appointments coming up. You have room for other people to call in and come see you in the near future.
We do. We always have room.
Cool. But people do need to call. So one last time, Faye, what is your phone number?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. 3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com. Go on the website, look us up, study it. It gives you a lot of information on life settlements, gives a lot of information on annuities.